So, this morning's going to be a little different than a preach, but it's going to be a preach. This is Steve's suggestion, and so welcome, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you in our church. Steve's been our overseer for about, I don't know, 5 years maybe?
Probably about that now, yeah.
We've been friends for over 20 years.
Yes, we have.
We were comparing notes yesterday. We're both grandfathers of currently 7 grandchildren.
Yes, we are.
And some similar age, both 60.
Grumpy old men.
And
speaking for myself, not for you.
Just ask around here. You might find a few opinions about that. I'm kind of on my opinion piece. It's like, get over your opinions. It's all right, Bruce. It's good. Anyway, we're looking at family this month, and I thought, talking with Steve during the week over the phone, I thought it would be really cool for us to put our father and grandfather caps on and just try and have a guided but casual conversation about a few things, and here we are.
Here we are.
So I'm not going to talk about the football, are we?
When you said, when I asked you what you wanted me to preach, and you went on for about 10 minutes, and I thought, how am I going to do all that in one message?
So I don't do that, do I? Go on for 10 minutes?
No, just, but, well, you gave me
just
a whole...
Just be easy.
Can you cover this, and can you cover this, and can you cover this?
Yeah,
and
well, I thought... I just knew that you had so many pearls of wisdom in there that we could dig them out. So anyway, we thought, rather than just giving our grandfatherly and fatherly advice, we'd sort of centre some of our thoughts this morning around some of the Proverbs, the first few chapters of the book of Proverbs. And so I just want you to share, Steve, a few thoughts. Where I want to go this morning is really my conviction that we do learn a lot of our wisdom in life in the family that we're brought up in, whatever that looks like, and however functional or dysfunctional it is, it informs our wisdom. And so I just thought if you could share one thing or something that maybe a funny story would be a way of doing it, but what did you learn? What would you say something that was a wise matter that was put before you as a kid in your family?
I can remember as a teenager, before I was a Christian, my parents saying to me that if you ever do drugs, you'll never come back into this house again.
Right, so that was a bit of
confrontation.
Yeah.
And it was like, so that kind of set me on a journey. Okay, so do you really love me, or do you only love me for what I do or don't do?
Yeah.
So that was pretty confronting.
Yeah.
So that was, but in it kind of stuck with me, that thought.
Yep.
You know? So, that was a confronting wisdom moment, because obviously there was wisdom in what my mum had said. But, what about you?
Yeah, I was thinking about a number of things. Probably I've shared before in church here. One of the things that I would say was wise from my parents' point of view with me as a child was bringing me up to be a churchgoer. Mm. So there was wisdom and the wisdom of that. Yeah. I got a statement I want to make a little bit later on about, just a little bit of a revelation about what wisdom actually is to help us make it practical. Like, you know what wisdom is, right? Some of you are going, oh, what? It's like, well, that's me. I don't actually think I've got a handle on what it is. Like, what is wisdom? What is it? Is it good choices? You can make good choices and not wise, can't you?
You can. Yes, you can.
Really? Is anyone confused about this? Is wisdom wise a good choice? Think about it. I'm not going to even answer for that one, by the way.
What's the opposite of wisdom?
Foolishness. I think. No. Well, that's what the book of Proverbs seems to
Absolutely,
say, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let me just read this. I'll answer your question in a second, all right?
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this. Listen, my son or daughter, to your father's instruction. So again, I'd want to reiterate where I started in the tithe message. This is not an opinion. You can hear it as an opinion, but it's really not the best way to manage interacting with the Bible. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. In the Hebrew, this particular little sentence is actually referring specifically to a mother teaching her children the Torah. So not teaching them arithmetic or reading and writing. It's actually teaching them the laws of God. They are a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. It's saying, like, listening to counsel is always going to set you up to be honoured, and it's going to set you up for people to realise that you've actually got a voice of authority. That's what those two little pictures are, garland and a necklace. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Have you found wisdom actually has helped you over the years, Steve? Or
the Bible talks about, in all you're getting, get wisdom. And so It's taken me a while to get some wisdom, but I've still got a lot more to get.
Yeah, me too. I kind of like my basket's a little bit empty.
Yeah, and I've found that one of the things that I learned early in the piece, if you listen to other people who are a bit further down the track, you can save yourself a whole lot of pain. Because if you listen to what they say, then you can avoid some of the pitfalls that come. But then there's been a lot of lessons that I've learned through falling into those pits myself from time to time. So, but where possible, I've tried to learn from other people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So having good friends is a wise choice.
Absolutely.
Having people that are good for you. The Bible says in other places that bad company corrupts good character. So you can be a really neat person and hanging out in the wrong crowd is not wise. It's just not wise to do that. Mm. I just want to give a little story about lack of wisdom as a kid.
Yeah.
A couple of stories I can think of. I got an air rifle when I was about, 13 or 14, back when you could have guns in Australia. It's another opinion. And I'm not advocating them, but I had an air rifle. And my dad was a shooter, not a mass shooter, but a shooter. just clarifying that. Just clarifying that. So, and I used to practice. I shot all sorts of things: coke cans, bottles, parrots, galahs, crows. I mean, probably get arrested today for shooting those things, but yeah. I probably could have back there, but you didn't hear it from me. Actually, I had an old uncle, dear old uncle, one day, and his wise counsel to me, he would have been about 85. He says, "Why are you shooting those Rosellas?" I said, "Because I can." He says, "Oh, but they're beautiful birds. Don't shoot them." And I thought, "Oh, you silly old man." But he was actually wise. I shouldn't have been shooting the birds. They're beautiful. But I didn't know that when I was 14, right? Anyway, I digress. So I thought I'd be really smart one day. We had a swimming pool in the back of our yard that was partly above ground in Mum and Dad's place. And it was made of concrete. So I thought I'll set up all these coke cans on the rim of this pool. Went down the backyard and shoot towards the house. And that was all good. There's bricks behind the brick wall and everything, but down the middle of the brick wall was Dad had just spent all this time putting a brand new plastic downpipe system down from the roof. Hole like that in the middle of his plastic downpipe. So I'm like, he won't notice. For me, it was like the immediacy of having a moment with my air rifle was like, oh, this is awesome. But I didn't look beyond. Say beyond.
Beyond.
I didn't look beyond the Coke cans.
Yeah.
There was something important behind it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just a bit of stupidity. That was a foolish moment, right? You got any foolish moments you could share that are appropriate?
I've got plenty. But learning to drive was one for me. So I was 13 years old and I was living on a farm, my relative's farm. And my uncle, who owned the farm, he had a farmyard. This was back in England. And he had his office watching the farmyard and the cars would come in. The driveway was about 2 kilometres long. And so my 16-year-old cousin said, "Oh, I'll teach you how to drive. Just jump in the car."
So stop for it. A 16-year-old's going to teach you to drive. Right, that's a good start.
So he said, jump in the driver's seat. So I jumped in the driver's seat, drive the 2Ks, steering was easy and all that sort of stuff. Pulled into the yard, but he hadn't told me how to brake and stop. So I pulled into the yard and just drove straight into the wall and knocked the wall into the workshop over, all while my really scary uncle was watching out of his office window. So it was really scary. I ran and hid in the woods for a day because I was so ashamed and embarrassed. And so it's good to learn to stop before you start.
It is. So in that story, there's a little bit of help for us to understand that making unwise decisions can have consequences that are a little bit tricky, can't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when we sort of say, talk about wisdom and the opposite of wisdom being foolishness, I think the Bible has a lot to say about our foolishness is demonstrated by the words that we speak all too often. Have you ever sort of said things that have got you in trouble?
No, nobody here does that. We're Adelaide Ilzians, right? We don't make those sorts of mistakes. Steve, you're on your own here, mate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I have said a lot of stupid things over the years, from this pulpit even.
Yeah.
I have said some ridiculously stupid things here from this pulpit.
How have you recovered from that?
Oh, I haven't sometimes. People have left.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a journey. Being pastoring like yourself, you've been over 20 years in the ministry, and I look back at some of the things I've said and done, and I think, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Yeah. Anyone had those moments? Not even whatever you do. Can we give me a little help, please? Okay, so what I want you to grab a hold of from that is that wisdom's not a static thing you get. It's a dynamic dimension of God that accompanies us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. So will wisdom. Wisdom can follow you, or wisdom can be left behind.
So any practical tips on wisdom and the getting of wisdom?
Well, I think here, at the beginning of this, it is saying like you did, it's actually something that comes by the voice of others, whether they're necessarily in years older than us, but they've just experienced life, and so we listen to the words that people speak. And I would say there have been some great, you've over the years, as I said, we're colleagues at one level, but you're our oversight, and so your wisdom involves you seeing things that I can't see. And every one of you in this room can see things that I can't see, and vice versa.
And yeah, it's a mutual thing.
Absolutely.
Because wisdom is defined, that the wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. That's Proverbs 10:8.
Yeah.
So, like...
Absolutely.
Wise are teachable.
Wise people are teachable.
And, you know, that's why I know your pastor's wise, because he's teachable. And but it's a mutual thing. We learn as much from Bruce and Julian from coming to visit your church as the other way around. So, and I want to just acknowledge and thank you for, as a church, releasing your pastors to facilitate some of the broader movement responsibilities that have come their way, and to help the church at Melrose Park in particular this last 9 months or so. That couldn't happen if you guys weren't on board and supporting your pastors here and releasing and empowering the other leaders that are coming up underneath.
Yep.
So I just want to, on behalf of the movement, thank you as a church for doing that, because that's the church has been at Melrose Park is
in a good phase of recovery. Absolutely. It is.
So
yeah, thank you, Steve. We love it. We love doing what we do. We're so into local church. This is gold, probably beyond gold on planet Earth. Local churches. What do I mean by that? A group of followers of Jesus coming together with a determination to make our relationships work. There's so many reasons why this shouldn't work. There's so many reasons why this should just all explode and we just do our little thing with Jesus by ourselves. But his wisdom, and he is wisdom, is, no, I'm going to build my church. He's actually wanting to gather us together. There's something about us working out how we get on that's good for us.
The thing about wisdom is it needs to be in the context of relationship.
Totally.
If you're not in a context of relationship, then we're just wise in our own minds, and we all really are.
That's called delusion, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But, you know, again... Yeah. Wisdom comes in the context of relationship, how you relate to other people, how you respond to signals and cues. You know, I think that's a massive part of it. And again, the scripture says, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbour. If you can't get on with people, you're not wise.
Yep.
So it's like, oh man, okay, I've got to figure out how to get on with people.
So people who say things like, that's just the way God made me, so get over it, that's not wise.
No.
Okay. I'll stop saying that then. I'm on a journey. I told you I'm on a journey.
We're all on a journey.
One of the things that I picked up here, Steve, as I was reading through Proverbs 1 and just looking at some ideas to chat with you over this morning, was something I'd never seen before. And so our chat this morning is relatively... we're both phlegmatic, pretty quiet, easygoing guys. And so our fireside chat without the fire is pretty quiet, and it's inviting a response from each one of us to listen up. But what I noticed in this was in verse 20, listen, let me just read this. This is the NIV rendition of Proverbs 1 starting at verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. Like, you ever been out in a paddock or out in the somewhere other, out in the remote area and just talking like this, no one cares, but no one hears. Mm. But if you wanted to raise attention, you'd actually have to shout. And it's like, I thought that wisdom was going to be a gentle little voice. No, don't do that, Steve. Like, just don't do that. Or don't do that, Dave. Or don't do that, Silvio. It's like, don't do that. It's like wisdom's like... But what if wisdom's like... Stand up for a minute. Steve, if you do that, you're a flipping idiot.
Wouldn't be the first time that's been said to me.
Let's sit down again. It's kind of... I was really taken aback by the brutality. She raises her voice in the public square. We're not talking about a little pipsqueak kind of quiet, still voice of God. We're talking about this incredible storm of warning, this storm of correction. On top of the wall, she cries out at the city gate. She makes her speech and she says things like this: how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? That's pastoral care 101. So your ways are a little simple, Steve.
Yeah.
You're like, how long are you going to keep being simple, mate? It's like, that's not very nice.
I learned the lesson.
But wisdom talks to us like that. It's like, wake up to yourself. So, yeah.
Well, I reckon there's a big correlation between emotional intelligence and wisdom.
Okay.
Because if we're not emotionally intelligent enough to realise when somebody loves us enough to bring correction, then we're missing out on wisdom that comes our way. And so the concern that I have, going back as a father and a grandfather, is that we've got to be careful that we're not raising a generation of people who are not emotionally resilient enough to be able to cope with a correction like that comes from a place of love. So, you know, if we perceive that, who do you think you are to be telling me that? You know,
exactly.
If we get defensive,
mm-hmm.
then we're not going to be in a position to receive the wisdom and counsel around us. So, but if we're not resilient enough to be able to rise above our defensiveness, it's like, well, you don't know what I went through today or whatever, you know. And so I think emotional intelligence is kind of the bedrock that we can build wisdom on. So.
Yeah, that sounds like a sermon on its own.
Could be.
It could be, yeah. So, all right, well, let's see if we can just poke around this a little bit more. Maybe using the analogy that I just did of, can you think of an occasion where wisdom really did rear up and shout at you and what you did with that?
Yeah, I find that it's more often than not when I've made some sort of call and I reflect on, maybe that didn't go so well, that I look, it's more in hindsight, probably could have done that better. So one of the responsibilities that I have in the movement at the moment is, in a sense, pastoring a number of pastors.
Yep.
And so, pastoring pastors can be quite challenging. And, the difficulty of how to do that well is something that I'm learning wisdom in.
Yeah.
And so, again, if I just think, well, okay, I've been given this responsibility, so everybody should listen to what I've got to say, that's not wisdom. It's wisdom earns the right to be heard, in a sense. Wisdom, in a sense, speaks for itself, but then is heard by people who step back and go, oh, okay, maybe I should listen to that. But it's not like, I'm your pastor, so you should do what I say. That's not wisdom, and you just responding to that is not wisdom. Just because I'm your pastor, you shouldn't have to do what I say. Hear me out here, don't kick me off.
No, keep going. I won't cut it.
Because I think another aspect of this is the ability to differentiate. Because so often, we hear something and we go, okay, well, Steve said that, so it's got to be true. It's like, well, actually, it might not be. You have been given a measure of wisdom in nous
totally.
To actually sort of say, well, yeah, I appreciate where Steve's coming from in this situation, but I know for me at my time in life stage, at this point in time, it's probably not an appropriate course of action for us to follow. But you have the ability to differentiate and not just go along with the crowd kind of thing. And so, I think that's another key part of wisdom, is that ability to differentiate, but do it respectfully, and appropriately.
Yep. Wisdom's a bit of a tricky part of God.
It is.
Isn't it? Because it's kind of like, we like to think that God's not mean, and he's not, but listen to this. This is more in chapter 1 of Proverbs. So it says, Steve, this just blows my mind. It says, repent at my rebuke. So wisdom's got the capacity to rebuke me. So you're actually not on the right path here, Bruce. You're actually heading down the wrong... You're going down a dead-end street. And I've got to listen, it says. And wisdom goes on to say, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. But I've got to actually stop and go, hang on a minute, I actually am being a fool. I've got to be prepared and resilient emotionally enough to stop in my tracks, don't I? And I'll make known my teaching. But then it goes on to say this, but since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice, this is wisdom talking to me, I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading this, right? And do not accept my rebuke. Verse 26 is a classic. This is what wisdom's going to do to me. I will laugh when disaster strikes you. What? Wisdom's going to laugh at me when I foul the nest, so to speak.
Yeah.
What's that about? You got any thoughts on that, Pastor? Overseer. Oh, great one.
Well, my thoughts would be, don't do dumb things. So
that is the pearl of wisdom for the morning. Come on, give Steve a hand for that one. That is a classic. Don't do dumb things. Yeah.
So, have you thought about the fact that wisdom is personified as a woman?
Yes, I have.
What do you make of that?
Oh, we had long debates at university about this.
So when we don't listen to wisdom, mm-hmm. when we don't listen to women in our world, we can end up falling flat on our face. I've had that happen many a time.
Oh, me too. My wife is the wisest person in the world. She's not even here to hear that, but if she ever listens to this podcast, it's like...
So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
No, there's a whole bunch of feminist theologians who love the fact that Sophia is the word, the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. And so Sophia obviously is a female name, and the gender of the word is female, and it's a whole dimension of the femaleness of God. Now, I'm not going to go into that kind of, but if that means something to you, good luck to you.
Do you want me to tell you what it means to me?
Yeah, tell me what it means to you.
Because women speak way more words than men, right?
Yes.
So we've got to listen to them.
Yeah.
Not switch off to them, but listen.
Yeah, so Greg French's counsel that we need to be talked to 35 times to get it's kind of... That's why wisdom has to shout at us, right?
Totally, mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't you women be thinking, we got this nailed. It's not completely analogous. It's just grammatically feminine, right? Just a little rider there. So anyway, it goes on and it talks about... And if you read this for yourself, there's just lots of... what I would call surprising levels of just wisdom kind of paying you out for not being wise.
Yeah.
And maybe that's our experience of someone who has spoken wisdom to us, a grandfather or a key figure, and we've laughed them off, and then all of a sudden they mightn't laugh in our face, but they go behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know that saying, told you so? It's not very nice and pastoral, but it's like... Mm.
Have you thought about the fact that... people who lose their temper are not wise. The Bible tells us that.
Absolutely.
So
that,
to me, is a challenge. It's like, okay, so I need to be self-regulated enough to actually manage...
Let's stop right there. That's an interesting word in our culture, self-regulated.
Well, I think need to take responsibility for our responses and our... not just be... defined by our moods and our emotions, which are legitimate, but I think we've got to learn. Wisdom allows us to rise above our emotional response and respond in the way that the Word of God would call us to respond. Because if we're emotionally driven, and I was looking at this, fools vent their anger. Any fools here today?
Oh, I've had some foolish moments. Yes.
I think if we're characterised by venting our anger in inappropriate ways, we're obviously not being characterised by wisdom.
Yep.
So,
is there any others you've dug up there about keeping your mouth shut?
Probably. What else?
I think we found wisdom sort of a wise person remains silent sometimes, whereas the fool speaks unendingly.
Yeah. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness.
Yeah.
Those sort of scriptures. Sometimes we can just gloss over them, but I actually think they're really powerful things to really guide us in the right direction. Can't even read without my glasses on here.
Which one are you looking at? The top one? Yeah, I've got my glasses on.
Grumpy old men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are my glasses?
This is Proverbs 10:19. The more talk, the less truth. the wise measure their words.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, that's unbelievably.
I think you know, it's just a question of, I think there's a time to speak and a time not to speak.
Yeah,
and wisdom.
Wisdom
guides,
guides that, right?
Yeah.
Is this helping?
Yeah.
A bit of a chat about wisdom. I actually was thinking about lying in bed this morning. I woke up, Steve, and I had this couple of analogies that I think can help us, like, what is wisdom?
Yeah.
And for me, one of the things that I thought was helpful was wisdom gives us the ability to see further down the timeline of a decision. In other words, we can make a decision that appears to resolve a problem, like right now, but it's not a wise decision because down the track there are other things that are going to come into play that are going to mess things up. And so wisdom gives us the ability to see down the timeline.
Right.
Do you think that does that ring true for you?
Oh, I think so. I think we're talking about the concept of delayed gratification in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
And as parents, in a family context, if we don't teach that sort of concept to our kids, they're just going to grow up with an immediacy of everything happens when I want it now.
Yep.
Rather than understanding, well, wisdom would say that you save for things or that you prepare for things.
And wow,
so, you know, I love that thought of yours that you're looking down the track to the future. I think that's great.
Yep. The other thought I had as an analogy was ripping out a tree stump, would you believe? And a tree stump that's got lots of roots heading off into all sorts of directions, and you find some particular trees have like a main root and you think, oh, I'm just going to cut that sucker off and that's the end of it. But there's a whole bunch of other roots still attached that have to be dealt with, and it's like it's unwise to think that there's only one way to do this. Wisdom considers options and looks at the variables and tries to consider down the track. Remember Ed Cole? Remember Ed Cole was the started the Christian Men's Network in America and a great men's ministry. And he talked about the devil, actually. This is interesting. He had a picture of the enemy's mission in life with regards to temptation and sin is to prevent you from seeing down the timeline.
Yeah. And I would suggest that that's why the devil wants to keep the Word of God out of culture, out of society.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
If we're reading the Word of God that talks about things like, you know, wisdom and those concepts,
yes,
they're going to be the things that sustain us down the track and into the future. So if the enemy can remove that from society, create a secular society that doesn't acknowledge the value of the Word of God to teach us wisdom, then, you know, don't we?
So, you got any examples? We're talking before about calamities and down the track. You got any examples you can think of that are for public airing of a calamity that's overtaken you as a result of being foolish?
Well, I had a really bad car accident once because I didn't check what was coming that way. I looked that way and pulled out and got T-boned that way. So that was foolishness.
That's a calamity?
That's a calamity. So, but I don't know. I kind of like to think when I'm making a decision and I've given it due consideration that I've made the right decision. So if I go back and think, oh, was that the right decision? No, it was the right decision at the time, and I back my judgment.
Yep.
But in reflection, I go, okay, well, what do I know now that I didn't know then, and how can I apply that? So I think it's important to make a value judgment and back it, but then learn if it didn't quite work out the way that you thought it would. So, you know, even say with pastoring people, I probably could have said things differently that might have resulted in a different outcome rather than getting people offside. So something like that. But in reflection, thinking back, how could I have said that better, or how could I have communicated that less harshly, or whatever. So, you know, those kind of dynamics, I suppose.
I think we've talked, if not over the course of this weekend, certainly in recent times together, we chat about all sorts of things over meals and the like. And one of the things that I think Steve and I have talked about a little bit, and this is connected to wisdom, is when I was a lot younger, I would say things are very black and white they were for me. It's like there's wrong and there's right, and that's true, there is. But there's, in the area of morality, in the area of what ethics, it's very black and white. And the older I've got, the greyer it's become.
Yeah.
And not that there's less truth, I'm not saying that, but it's kind of, there's things that I wouldn't go to war over anymore, conversationally, for example. Is that, and that, would you say that's the wisdom of age?
Yeah.
Anybody here that's found that as they've gotten older, that they've actually learned to pick their fights and think, oh, you would have gone to battle over that a long time ago, but give me a wave. I just didn't see enough. Yeah, okay, there's a few of us that are saying, yeah, that's good.
I think the thing is, you don't actually have to prove yourself right for
correct.
Wisdom to
exactly.
actually unfold.
Yep.
And I've seen many times where maybe I haven't been as forthright with certain perspectives, but people have chosen to ignore me or whatever, a counsel or whatever, and I've watched over time, and I've said many times, I'm happy to be proved wrong in this, but I think this is probably not going to end well, and quite often it doesn't, you know. And it's like, because I find that wisdom isn't usually really strong at, you know, imposing its position on you.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting that it isn't. But yeah. On the other hand, that the first chapter says that it's going to, at times, it can be loud.
Yeah.
It can be in your face, but it's not always.
Well, I think it can be in your face in such a way as, you know, why didn't I see that or hear that or respond to that at the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because most of the counsel that comes would come in the form of, have you thought about this? Or I suggest you do that. Or, you know, it's usually less directive and more a kind of coaching in
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
It's like, because I think, you know, one of the things that I've had to grow out of is a defensiveness.
Yep.
If somebody said, you should do this, it's like, oh, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a rebellious nature in me, kind
yeah.
of thing, you know.
Yeah. So maybe driven by a bit of insecurity?
Probably. A lot of insecurity.
Yeah.
And, so it's kind of like getting to that place where I'm not going to react and respond, but just let wisdom take its course if I embrace the course of wisdom, sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's an incredibly vital part of our journey through life is... the gaining of wisdom.
Yeah.
It says that, gaining wisdom and understanding, fear in the Lord. The book of Proverbs just reiterates the journey into another number of matters, doesn't it? So there's benefits in, there is benefit in wisdom, I've noticed.
Absolutely. I had this thought, I was thinking about, so Solomon, the wisest guy in the Bible, what were the wise things we remember him for?
Yeah.
I can only think of one.
Yeah, the two women disputing over a baby, yeah.
The rest of it is about Solomon and his lack of wisdom with women and relationships and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, so the wisest man in the Bible, we can only think of one wise thing that he did? Gives us hope, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he penned the Proverbs, or some of them, allegedly, so he could have. It's like, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
I thought it was.
Don't you think?
My random brain, but anyway.
No, that's... I'd completely go with you. It's like, that's where God is so willing to promote somebody in his word who's been given all and reputed to be the wisest person who ever lived.
Mm.
Yet even with all that wisdom, he still made really bad calls.
Yeah.
So it's not about once you get to 60 and you're a wise old man...
Yeah. I wish.
That you're infallible. It's like, no, we can still make a bad call. Mm. We can still really stuff things up because of the fact that we're human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just listed a few things here, Steve. We might stop and just talk some of these through, but if we want to. These are the things that I found from chapter 3. So moving on to Proverbs 3. These are things that wisdom will enable and can enable into our lives. And so peace and prosperity. I didn't actually connect these thoughts to verses, but if you're following through, that these will sequentially go down through Proverbs 3. Obtaining and retaining love and faithfulness. I mean, these are great things to have in our life.
Yeah.
The ability to trust God is actually a fruit of being a wise person. Sober judgment of self, fear of God, the desire to shun evil. It says that will bring physical health and nourishment. Mm. Sometimes we're actually physically sick or mentally out of whack with our world.
Yeah. I love that one about sober judgment of self.
Yeah.
We need to be self-aware enough to realise where we're lacking in wisdom.
Yep.
Around blind spots in our world or whatever it may be. That's a great insight.
Yeah.
Sober judgment of self.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it brings physical health and nourishment.
Mm.
I mean, you wouldn't necessarily link those, but that's in the Word of God. That's not an opinion. The desire to honour God brings blessing and abundance. the willingness to be rebuked and corrected. Mm. So it's not just reluctantly. Wisdom dictates, like, lay it on me, Steve. Mm. So after today's message, I mean, after today's meetings, one of the things we'd always do with Steve and Deb would be, okay, tell us what you saw. Mm. What are we doing in our meeting that's can be improved? What are we doing we should stop doing? We've been pastoring, as I said, as almost as long as Steve and Deb, and in some respects, I'd go, I could look at Steve's input as an opinion, but I choose not to. I choose to look at it as wisdom from God. And so as much as Steve can be wise, I don't hear it as wisdom if I'm actually not teachable. Yeah. That makes sense? And you and I both had conversations with people that...
they don't want to hear.
No.
Like, can't tell.
Blocked ears?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you guys do really, really well. You model it really well.
We try to.
Yeah.
Don't always get it right, mind you, but we're working on it. So the ability, wisdom gives the ability to discern what is actually valuable in this life. Mm. You know, what is actually valuable to you this morning? What is it that you truly, truly value? Wisdom will shine a light on stuff that's got eternal value and stuff like that. Creativity, wisdom makes things. Elsewhere in the Bible, I'm not sure I didn't write it. It's by wisdom that the universe was created. So that gets back to the feminine side of things, like by wisdom. It's like it was made for, through, and by Christ, yet wisdom was in the mix. It's like, whoa, awesome thing. Peace of mind and spirit, no fear. Wisdom will give that to you. If you're a little anxious this morning, maybe pursue wisdom. You never know, it might unlock a few things. Oh, that's enough. So, just a shift gears a little bit towards the end of this time together. So let's just talk about the dynamic of moving from being a dad and the impartation of wisdom to your kids to the arena of being a grandfather. What's different about it that you thoroughly enjoyed or find challenging? Or just talk to me about that for a minute.
Aside from just the revenge factor.
In the arena of sleeping, maybe, messy.
I look at the you know, our grandkids, and I think probably as a parent you're just kind of surviving, but as a grandparent you can see the potential. You can, and so I find probably I pray for my grandkids differently to the way I pray for my kids. It's like, Lord, protect my kids from me killing them, or you know.
Yes.
But as grandparents, it's like, Lord, I pray for their destiny. I pray, you know, and we did that for our kids as well. But it seems, I don't know, I guess it's like, you know, this little season of sleeplessness or rebellion or whatever will pass. So you can actually see beyond that, which is actually a helpful thing as a grandparent. And, you know, some of the things, like, we don't have to apply the rules in the household, so we can be a bit nicer.
It's called spoiling them, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. That's one of the joys of life.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe it. We've actually gone over time. That's a bit naughty. It's been good chatting, haven't it?
Thank you.
I think it's been good. Have you guys found something that's just, you know, knock away a little nugget of sorts? Just want to finish then with a few questions, and we'll see we'll just conclude with these. So I just want you to have a moment to just ponder these questions. So where does wisdom fit into your world today? Where does it fit in? Has it even been invited in, is a question. Who's allowed to speak to you as a voice of wisdom? Who do you listen to that's maybe a friend, maybe it's a grand person in the sense of someone who's older in your life that you respect and you listen to, and they're the person whose counsel that you would say that's wisdom, but someone else's you don't? Is there somebody in your life that is able to do? So that whole thing of discipleship and mentoring is built around that. An assumption, I think, that this person's actually going to give me some wisdom and wise counsel and so forth. This is a big one. Who's allowed to rebuke you? Well, my answer to that question, Julie, first. But anybody can. Like, honestly, anybody can be like, so was it Balaam that got spoken to by an ass? Like, he was rebuked by God because no one else would stand up and tell him, and eventually an ass said something to him. It's like, well, I don't want God to have to send me an ass.
Yeah, that's right.
You had an ass talk to you because you weren't listening?
Probably. I've had quite a few, yeah.
So the question stands, who's all out to? Like, who is it that you don't get defensive with? Who is it that you don't push back through those insecurities? And if you haven't got a yes, clear person in your thinking there, I'd say work on that. Work on letting somebody have that voice. yeah, and I just want to just close by saying, I think for me, us talking about this in our roles as pastors, but as fathers and grandfathers, one of the things I'm determined that I wanted to have as a dynamic this morning was an understanding that in your family, whatever that looks like, one of the things that God wants you to be dealing with is wisdom, so that the next generation learns to be wise. As we practice imparting wisdom, we actually become wise. It's a fruit-bearing gift reality in every direction, up, down, sideways. Wisdom is just this amazing part of God. So why don't we stand at our feet and we'll close in prayer. I might just get Steve here to pray and maybe just do an altar call, see if anybody wants to give their life to Jesus this morning and what that looks like.
Let's just close our eyes, bow our heads for a few moments. There's a lot of counterfeit wisdom out there. Knowledge is not wisdom. Information is not wisdom. It's how we apply what we hear from God to the context of life. And maybe life has dealt some pretty savage blows to you and you feel vulnerable. But wisdom is also a person. It's the person of Jesus. And I'd love for you to have the opportunity this morning to meet wisdom personified in Jesus. And in the midst of maybe your family background, maybe your history, maybe just life's challenges have been such that you feel like you haven't been able to hear a voice of reason or sound thinking that has come into your world, I'd love for you today to just say, you know what? I'm going to, at this point in time, September, 23rd of September 2018, make a decision to follow Christ from this day forward. Because that will be the beginning of getting wisdom for you in life. So if you're here today and you know that you need to give your life to Christ, you've sensed that drawing from Him, or maybe you realize that a lack of wisdom has led you away from God, and the wisest thing you could do is to make your peace with God again this morning, I'd love for you, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand in a moment or two and respond to that. Maybe you're just not sure about the future and you would just love some wisdom from God. The great thing about wisdom is that all you need to do to get wisdom is to ask. Ask God. So this morning, if you want to meet Christ for the first time, you want to come back to Christ or just reset your course, just raise your hand this morning so we can pray for you. Any here today need to make that choice?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Mighty, mighty God.
Thank you, God. I just love to pray for all of us here this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be quick to listen and slow to speak. That our hearts would be filled with receptivity towards you and what you are saying to us. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us where we have disregarded wisdom when it is being plainly in front of us. And Lord, that you would redeem the pain that has caused us in days gone by. I pray for each and every one of us as we look to the future that we can make wise choices now that we may not even see the benefit of until way down the track.
Yes, Lord.
But help us set in motion
the
fruit of wisdom in our life, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that as we listen to the voices of counsel, of discipleship, of reason that come into our life and world. Lord, for those of us who are defensive, God, I pray you would heal us of that defensiveness and that anxiety, that insecurity that places us in such a way. And I just pray that today, God, as for those of us that are parents, you would help us be wise parents. Lord, pray for those of us who have friends in our world, that we can be wise friends. Lord, that we can be able to differentiate enough to be able to make a good call and confront, that we can actually love our friends enough to challenge them when we see that they are making choices that are not healthy for them. God, I pray for a spirit of wisdom to settle on each and every one of us and upon this church, God, as we give ourselves over to you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's appreciate Pastor Steve. Thanks, Steve. Awesome.